half-pulled up the sloping wall. Voices, like the creak of sarcophagi, filled his ears, moaning encouragement.
"Well done, boy,"
groaned a crumbling mummy, hauling him bodily onto its shoulder.
"You remind me of me when I was alive. To you, son."
"Got him," said the corpse above, lifting Tepic easily on one outstretched arm. "That's fine family spirit, lad. Best wishes from your great-great-great-great-uncle, although I don't suppose you remember me. Coming up!"
Other ancestors were climbing on past Tepic as he rose from hand to hand, ancient fingers with a grip-like steel clutched at him, hoisting him onwards. The pyramid grew narrower. Down below, Pataclusp watched thoughtfully.
"What a workforce," he said. "I mean, the ones at the bottom are supporting the whole weight."
"Dad," said 2B, "I think we'd better run. Those gods are getting closer."
"Do you think we could employ them?" said Pataclusp, ignoring him. "They're dead. They probably won't want high wages. And,
Dad,
sort of self-build."
"You said no more pyramids, Dad. Never again, you said. Now come on."
Tepic scrambled to the top of the pyramid, supported by the last two ancestors. One of them was his father.
"I don't think you've met your great-grandma," he said, indicating the shorter bandaged figure, who nodded gently at Tepic.
He opened his mouth.
"There's no time," she said. "You're doing fine."
He glanced at the sun, which, old professional that it was, chose that moment to drop below the horizon. The gods had crossed the river, their progress slowed only by their tendency to push and shove amongst themselves, and were lurching through the buildings of the necropolis. Several were clustered around the spot where Dios had been. The ancestors dropped away, sliding back down the pyramid as fast as they had climbed it, leaving Tepic alone on a few square feet of rock. A couple of stars came out. He saw white shapes below as the ancestors hurried away on some private errand of their own, lurching at a surprising speed towards the broad band of the river. The gods abandoned their interest in Dios, this strange little human with the stick and the cracked voice. The nearest god, a crocodile-headed thing, jerked onto the plaza before the pyramid, squinted up at Tepic, and reached out towards him. Tepic fumbled for a knife, wondering what sort was appropriate for gods. And along the Dajel, the pyramids began to flare their meagre store of hoarded time. Priests and ancestors fled as the ground began to shake. Even the gods looked bewildered. 2B snatched his father's arm and dragged him away.
"Come on," he yelled into his ear. "We can't be around here when it goes off. Otherwise you'll be put to bed on a coat hanger."
Around them, several other pyramids struck their flares, thin and reedy affairs that were barely visible in the afterglow.
"Dad, I said we've got to go!"
Pataclusp was dragged backwards across the flagstones, still staring at the hulking outline of the Great Pyramid.
"There's someone still there, look," he said, and pointed to a figure alone on the plaza.
2B peered into the gloom.
"It's only Dios, the High Priest," he said. "I expect he's got some plan in mind. Best not to meddle in the affairs of priests. Now, will you come on?"
The crocodile-headed god turned its snout back and forth, trying to focus on Tepic without the advantage of binocular vision. This close, its body was slightly transparent, as though someone had sketched in all the lines and got bored before it was time to do the shading. It trod on a small tomb, crushing it to powder. A hand, like a cluster of canoes with claws on, hovered over Tepic. The pyramid trembled and the stone under his feet felt warm, but it resolutely forbore from any signs of wanting to flare. The hand descended. Tepic sank on one knee and, out of desperation, raised the knife over his head in both hands. The light glinted for a moment off the tip of the blade, and then the Great Pyramid flared. It did it in absolute silence to begin with, sending up a spike of eye-torturing flame that turned the whole kingdom into a criss-cross of black shadow and white light. A flame that might have turned any watchers not just into a pillar of salt, but into a complete condiment set of their choice. It exploded like an unwound dandelion, silent as starlight, searing as a supernova. Only after it had been bathing the necropolis in its impossible brilliance for several seconds did the sound come. And it was sound that winds itself up through the bones, creeps into every cell of the body, and tries with some success to turn them inside out. It was too loud to be called noise. There is a sound so loud that it prevents itself from being heard, and this was that kind of sound. Eventually, it condescended to drop out of the cosmic scale and became simply the loudest noise anyone hearing it had ever heard.